I'm going to talk a little bit further tonight about what we talked about on Sunday because it's so important. We were talking about prayer Sunday morning and the importance of prayer in the body of Christ as a whole, but also in our individual lives. And the Lord said, why don't we speak on that some more? I said, okay, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We are the family prayer center, and we are a house of prayer, we said. Amen. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 21:13. Matthew 21 verse 13 says, and this is Jesus. He was in the temple, and he cast them all out of the temple. Remember, some people say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, it could be that he may make a little whip there and drive us all out of the temple. How many know we are now, this body is the temple? And sometimes we need to get that whip of the Word of God and drive some things out of our temple. Amen? Hallelujah. Bad habits. Unforgiveness. Ooh, that's a big one, isn't it? Other things. But Jesus said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves. Why? Because they were extorting the people that would come to the temple. They had to buy, you know, they couldn't bring all their sacrifices with them necessarily. So they're coming and they would buy whatever they're able to afford. A couple doves or the sheep, you know, the goats and so forth that they brought for sacrifice every year to the temple. And of course, evidently, they were being abused. Jesus didn't like it at all. He says, no, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Hallelujah. And right after that, verse 14 says, and the lame, then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. When we are truly the house of prayer, the blind and the lame are going to be healed more and more. Because Jesus did pay the price for it. Says, and the chief, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Oh, poor religious leaders. They were not happy. They didn't like the fact that Jesus took their money. See, we got some money changers in the church today. See, people, if you'll give some money, if you'll do this or that, if you'll just give that special gift, God will heal you. No, Jesus paid the price for you already. It is free. It is free. Jesus was not pleased. See, they got upset because he touched their money. And there's people that are involved in the gospel for the sake of money, and I feel sorry for them. Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. You will love one and cling to the other. You're going to hate one and love the other. He said, that's the way it'll be. We have to love him, number one. Money is to be our servant. It's not to be our Lord, because it makes a poor God. It makes a real poor God. And if we allow that in our temple, we need to drive that out. Amen. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. The root of all evil. And we usually can see that. Even in the world today, we see it. Well, what's it all about? Why is this being done? Why are they doing that? Because they love money. Hallelujah. Or they love what money can give them. Importance and fame and prestige and who I am. And it's supposed to be who He is. Amen. We lay our lives down. It's not wrong to have money. Didn't say money was the root of all evil. The love of money. It's one of the things listed in Mark 4. When we get involved in that, many people, I know it's good. We should work hard and desire things. Nothing wrong with that. But not at the expense of our soul. Not at the expense of our relationship with God. Hallelujah. You know, and some of us, I mean, I don't know if we've really been fully tested yet. There's a few times we may have been tested. You know, but you're really not tested till you have it, right? You get that first million, then you're tested. See, it's to be a relationship with our Father. What has He said? Maybe He's called. He may have called some people in here to be gospel entrepreneurs or to raise, you know, to make money for the kingdom. It's not an easy thing. We have to die to our flesh. We'd say, okay, yes, I'll live on $100,000 a year, Lord, and give the rest to You. When you made 10 million, it's not easy. I'll be a steward of Your money, and I'll be a steward of what I have right now. See, it doesn't start when you get the $1 million. It starts when you have $5 in your hand today. It starts when we have $20, or He blesses us and we believe God. Amen. We can believe Him because we love Him. Amen. He's the provider. We're going to trust Him. Now, that was good anyhow, Pastor Doug. That's not really our full message, but praise the Lord. It was good anyway, wasn't it? And it's true. We have to be careful of all things in life because the Bible says it's the, what is it? The lust of the eyes, right? The pride of life. These things are not of the Father. Amen. That's right. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life rises up. Amen. Oh, well, look what I mean, I've got a real good friend of mine. I like him a lot. But, you know, his whole thing is, you know, if I'm working hard, I'm making big money, and you're not, then I'm somebody and you're not. Praise the Lord. I love you still. I'll be your friend, but I'm going to serve Jesus number one. Amen. He's number one, whatever He says. Now, if He's called people to do things, they make good money. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being rich. But He warned the rich. Jesus said a lot about to the rich. Don't be wail and weep. Don't let your money become a misery. He said, I will add to you without sorrow. Hallelujah. That's good news. I'd rather have no sorrow. Amen. Let Him add to me as I am His steward. Glory to God. Well, let's turn to Matthew 5:43. Just a few chapters over here. Matthew 5:40, beginning in verse 43. In 44. Now Jesus said, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Have you ever had that happen in your life? Anybody ever had that? Maybe you've got somebody that has persecuted or spoken evil against you, cursed you. The Bible says, do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. So this is number one, some of the things that we should pray for. This is really the first time Jesus is teaching on the subject of prayer. This is some of the first recorded information that we have, that he said, pray for your enemy, love, bless, do good. Pray for them. We must keep our mind renewed and reject the thoughts of temptation to speak evil of people. Period. You know, you can always find something good to say about them. We can find something positive. Amen. And it wouldn't hurt any of us to work on that. Amen. Not to speak evil of anyone, but to speak, yes, sometimes there's truth. There's truth. I mean, you know, when you get with your husband or wife, we should speak the truth. Sometimes there's truth that has to be made known so that we know what we're fighting against. But our job is not to take the things that we hear about people and to spread them around to other people. Amen. That's called speaking evil of someone. That's what Jesus calls it. Amen. It was good preaching anyway. I know it went over like a lead balloon. It kind of heavy on our spirit sometimes, on our mind, our emotions. Oh. But when we speak evil, it can cause destruction. We need to think about what we're saying sometimes. Well, I'm just telling what it is, the way it is. The Bible said you speak the truth in love, not just to tell it the way it is. Sometimes, see, we don't have to say everything we know. It's called discretion. And sometimes when we use our discretion, we save the reputation of someone else. Say, well, they talked evil about me. I'm gonna, you know, or they need to know that. Well, why? Why do they need to know who spoke evil about you? Why do they need to know that? Is that beneficial to them? Does that help them think good about that person or evil? Something to think about, amen? Our words about other people. Sometimes we need to close our mouth. That's part of prayer. We pray for that enemy. We bless them. We do good to them. We find out and say, Father, how can I do good to my enemy or this person that has spoken evil against me? I know this was many years back, but I had a particular person who would not speak to me in the church. I would say hello. They would turn their back. And I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision right there and then. I'm going to love that person and not say one word evil about them because I love them. So well, they rejected you. They turned literally, physically turned their back on you. Thought evil about you at least. Maybe they spoke evil about you. Then there's the decision that has to be made. And I remember I was giving someone a particular ride one day and they asked about this person. And I had to say, Holy Spirit, help me. Amen. He will help us. If we'll ask him, put a watch on my lips, Lord. Put a guard at the door of my mouth. And I said, well, praise the Lord. We keep praying for him. We love these people. We love every person, including our enemy. Amen. That's right. We pray for their soul to be saved. We want them to be in heaven with us for all eternity. You know, hell wasn't made for man. It just wasn't. It wasn't God's desire. It's not his desire. He said, I don't desire that any would perish, but that all would come to a place of repentance. and walk with me. Now in Matthew 18, he said, woe to those if we cause the little one to stumble. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 18. I didn't know I was going to go there. We'll go there anyway. Hallelujah. I've preached this many times, I know. But Matthew 18. That's just a few chapters over here the other way again. Let's just go there. Hallelujah. So, we're talking about praying for our enemy. Chapter Matthew 18 says this, at the same time came the disciples to Jesus saying, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, verily or truly, I say to you, except you be converted, become as a little child or children, come as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such child in my name receives me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe unto that man by whom the offense cometh. Hallelujah. Jesus is talking here about being like that child, that innocent little child. What is a child so good at? They're fully teachable. You can teach a child anything. If I got a 2-year-old here, I can tell him that blue is red. I could teach him that blue is red, couldn't I? I can teach him anything. He's teachable. But there's something else that we see in children. Oftentimes, they're very forgiving. They may get in a fight with their friend, and that's mine, and this is mine, but it's not shortly that they're playing again, but then the parents are at odds with each other because their child did this or their son did that, and the kids are already over. They want to play together. They're very forgiving. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like those that would become like children, we'll humble ourselves and say, yes, Lord, your will be done. I can listen to my master and I can be obedient to you. And I can forgive and I can hold blameless those that offend me, that I be not offended, that I don't take an offense and that I don't give the offense. To one of these children, I don't speak evil of those that have done me wrong or that I know about or what they do or what they did. You know, the Bible said it is up to us that we cover sin. He covers a multitude of sin, his grace, his mercy. Hallelujah. He said, it's so important. It says, wherefore, if your hand or your foot offends you, cut it off. Cut these things out of your life. That offense, cut that off. Cast it from you. It's better for you if you enter into life halt or maimed rather than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. He said, it is that important. It would be like if your hand or your foot's offending you and you cut it off. He's not telling you to do that, but he said it's the same kind of thing. If that's what it takes, cut it off at all cost. Whatever it is to save your life and not offend his children, his little ones, is so important. for us to grow up and be the adult in the situation. Amen. Hallelujah. You said, well, sometimes I would be at the, I remember when I was at the homeless shelter, I worked at a homeless shelter for a while. Talked to the guys, well, why don't you be the bigger man this time and just let it go? We need to be the bigger man or woman every time and let it go. Amen. Let it go. It's not that we don't enforce truth or we don't let truth prevail. We're not standing for unrighteousness. I'm not talking about that. But rather than offend, amen, we allow for people's mistake and we don't talk about it and we don't share it and we don't cause an offense. Amen. Sometimes people are offended. He said, hey, offenses are going to come, Jesus said. It'll happen. The word of God is offensive sometimes because it's truth. I don't know if you've noticed, but in the world today, people have a hard time with the truth sometimes. Tell them the truth. Jesus is the way. I'm sorry. There is no other way. It's Jesus or perish. That's what the Bible says. And I didn't write the Bible. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible through holy men of God. In other words, God himself gave us this book and got it written down for us to give us more than just what we think, more than just what society thinks to govern our life by. Hallelujah. But it is what God has said, period. Hallelujah. Well, we're praying for our enemies. That's one thing we are to pray for. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Boy, that was a long side note, wasn't it? But it was good. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, wait a minute. 2 Corinthians, excuse me. 2 Corinthians, you can fix that, Joseph, can't you? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We must, our spirit, master our flesh. By the spirit, we put to death the deeds of this body. We master the flesh. And so when we pray for our enemies, bless them, we don't curse them, but we bless them. Amen. We are responsible for ourselves to walk in that holiness, to master our flesh. He says in verse 2, receive us. We've wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, not to condemn you, for I've said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. He said, I've got you in my heart. I'm not here to condemn you, but we haven't wronged anybody. We didn't corrupt anybody, but we have decided it is our responsibility that we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. When we fear God, the grace of God is going to work in us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And the things of our flesh will begin to die, that our spirit man, amen, is life and brings forth that life. So, we forgive and we have to take some things to God, bring the things that we have in our life to Him and not to speak evil or use them to speak of other people. Sometimes we refer to that as gossip. Even if it's true, it's still gossip. Amen. You know, there's times I think about that. Sometimes someone will make a terrible thing or mistake with God. We have to choose not to hold that against the person. Because sometimes things become known. But how many know? If they went to the blood, if they went to God and asked for forgiveness and talked to Him about it and got it out of their life, then that is forgotten by God. And I understand. I'm not saying that we have to always trust people immediately, because trust is something that's earned. But forgiveness from God is given. They're cleansed. You are cleansed. Maybe it's you that did something. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody ever done anything wrong? You wish you hadn't. You had to get the blood on it. Amen. Put the blood over it. Let's move forward. Hallelujah. It's true anyway. Man, we're getting on this thing tonight. But the flesh has desires. We talked about that last time. Walk in the Spirit. We will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. That word walk, walking the same way over and over. Coming to God over and over. Spending time in His presence over and over. Developing that relationship with Him. Reading the Word of God. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Worshiping God. Spending time in His presence. We're not going to fulfill these things. We're not going to walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, you know, He practiced the things that He preached. He didn't just say them. He was them. And they'll be a part of you as well. Because seeking the face of heaven, knowing Him, and knowing His character and who He is, that God is gracious to you. Oh, He'll so walk with you. He'll walk through hell with you if you will not say what I'm doing is okay. But if you start saying, oh, God's okay with this sin, God's okay with this or that, then what does He have left to work with? Nothing. Because He's got to bring you to that place where you hate it like He does. And when you hate it like God hates it, it's going from your life. Because we've got to see sin for what it is. It is an offense to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. How many people know what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? In Luke 23:34, Jesus said to him, He says, Lord, would you remember me? He didn't have much time to repent, much time, but he asked the Lord. He turns to the other thief. You know, the other guy's saying, well, what are you talking about? Who is he? He doesn't deserve to be on the cross, but we do. We've done wrong. Lord, remember me. Amen. He forgave him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today. Do you imagine that? If it's your dying breath, there's still hope. Once we die, it's a little late. Because the Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. We stand before Him to give an account. Did we receive Jesus? What did we do with Him? Did we forgive our fellow man? Did we pray for those? Did we cause offense, or did we walk in the love of the Father and allow our spirit to dominate us and be an example? Hallelujah. Whew. When we walk in unforgiveness, we contaminate our spirit. We limit our fellowship with God, and we rob our own selves of the blessings of God. But when we forgive, when we walk in that, when we pray for our enemy, then there's a grace of God that comes upon our heart and our life, and we walk in a relationship with Him. That is so valuable and so precious because there's a holiness to it. There's a righteousness in it. And God comes and His blessings come upon us and overtake us. You said, well, gee, I'd sure like to be blessed. I could use one of those new, whatever fancy car you like, right? He's not talking about so much the natural as he is what he's already given. The peace of God begins to rule in our heart. How many know unforgiveness doesn't give us much peace? Amen. Because our mind's filled with revenge. Jesus said, it's mine to repay. I will walk with you, Holy Spirit. That's part of walking in the Spirit. Praying for our enemy. Forgiving. Not speaking evil. Hallelujah. Besides, did you make sure it was true anyway? Or is it just something you thought up in your mind or that the devil planted in your mind about that person? And even if it is true, why are you talking about it? I mean, I just ask him, why does it have to be known to somebody else? They're responsible for their life. And if we pray, we're believing God or we're not. That God's going to make a difference. Amen. We're not looking for him to fail or fall, but to be redeemed and to be restored and to be in fellowship with God Almighty. We're talking about the true and the living God, the God that created heaven and earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. He created man. He knows your DNA, how many hairs are upon your head. He knows when a sparrow falls. We're talking about God Almighty. The one that is able to do all things. When we put our faith in him and we stand and we obey what his word has said, because we pray according to his will, which is his word. And his word, number one, said pray for your enemy. Forgive. Let it go. Don't hold it. Hallelujah. Come to the Father and know him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. Jesus, this is part of prayer, you know. We're talking about prayer. We haven't left our subject. We really haven't. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Let's go there for a moment. Well, Let's start in 7. We'll start with 7. It's all good anyway. Back up a couple verses here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read 7 through 9 here. Likewise, you husbands. That's me. Everybody say he's talking to me, all the men. Amen. Dwell with them, talking about your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Woo! Oh boy. Are you listening, men? Amen. We're to walk according to knowledge, understanding. Where they are doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean everything's exactly right. But you're walking according to understanding, under knowledge. And we're saying, hey, we are to be that stronger. We have greater responsibility. We have a strength. See, being the man of our home is not something that it's something that we step into. It's who we are. We can do that. Amen. Hallelujah. We see that. We give honor to our wife. We love them, amen, that we can live together gracefully. How many know the Bible says in Romans 12, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with all people. Amen. Live in harmony the best that you can. Don't let the strife enter in. I'm learning that more and more. Hallelujah. Don't strive about the little thing. Let it go. There's no sense in letting the enemy have any part in our prayers, amen, that our prayers be not hindered. Hallelujah. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love the brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Hallelujah. In other words, have a little mercy on people. Don't be letter of the law, but let the grace of God and the Spirit of God guide you. Verse 9, this is where we're going. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he, verse 10, that will love life and see good days, let him, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Anybody ever get in one of those railing for railing arguments, with anybody? Maybe it was your neighbor. Maybe it was your coworker. Maybe it was your wife. Oh, Lord, help us. But we're rendering love. He says, render not evil for evil or railing for love, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called, that you should inherit a blessing. There's a blessing in blessing. Hallelujah. We don't want our prayers to be hindered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. Amen. See, there is a prayer that some people pray. They just want to be seen by people. I'm not talking about every time. I'm not saying you have to, let's think about it. What is our prayer closet? Really, it's our own heart. We can close the door to what everybody else is saying around us at any given time, and we can look inward where the kingdom of God lives within us, and we can pray to our Father. Oh, Father, sometimes we're at work or wherever we are. We don't have to be, shut away in some room necessarily. We can. But what about the room of your heart? And just saying, Lord, Father, I need you right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Look to him right now and pray to him. You're secretly. You don't have to tell everybody you're praying. You're praying to him. And he's bringing answers to you and for you. Amen. Hallelujah. So, that's our first thing. I got to one. Oh, boy. Pray for our enemies. Let's remember that. Let's just stop there tonight. I'm just going to stop right there tonight. I'm not going to go a lot further. We could. There's other things to pray for, like our own needs, for labors, pray for the harvest. Praying for the outpouring of the Spirit of God, Zechariah 10:1. Praying that we be filled with the knowledge of God's will, Colossians 1:9. There's all sorts of things that we should pray for. But how about starting number one, praying for our enemies, amen? Not allowing that to affect our emotion, not talking evil. Amen, we talked about that. What did he say? We don't render evil for evil, railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Going back over here to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3:10, for he that will love life and see good days, that's a good word, let him refrain. Amen. There's some things, how many know there's some things we should refrain from? Amen. We don't have to say everything. See, I told you. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking. Speak no guile. There'll be opportunities, sometimes daily, refrain our tongue from speaking evil. And contrarywise, what bless, pray for, do good. Amen. And let's not allow ourselves to become an offense to someone. You know, when we allow ourselves or we speak evil, sometimes we bring offense to people. They take up our offenses, see. We might be offended about something and we share it with somebody else. And then, you know, when people share some things, you know, you say, well, I wish they wouldn't have said that because now you got to deal with that about that person. Even if it's true. You've clouded their life a little bit, see. And now they got to deal with that. Well, so, you know, whether it's true or untrue, it doesn't really matter. Well, it wasn't even true. Well, maybe that's even worse, you know. I don't know. But, you know, then they have to deal with that. Well, do you know so-and-so, they've been doing this and they've been doing that and they said this and they said that. And you've polluted their mind and their emotion and now they've got to deal with it. And everybody have that happen? You know, somebody said something about somebody else and your ears became the trash can and, you know, if you need to unload it, talk to God. Amen. Take it to Jesus. Take it to Him. I'm not saying you can't ever say anything, but take it to someone that is matured. Take it to someone that's not going to get it to somebody else. Find someone that you can talk to then. If you need a human, then call me. I'll listen to you. And we can pray for them. And we can bless them. Amen. And it doesn't have to go anywhere else. Because God's interested in people's lives being changed and transformed. Even though we may have our own things. How many know He didn't love us and save us to leave us in turmoil and brokenness? Amen, Pastor Doug. Well, what about you? What you doing, Pastor Doug? I'm working with my Father. And I am going to overcome all things. Amen. I'm being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. My mind's being renewed by the Word of the living God, the truth that is setting me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's good news. This is not bad news. This is good news that we can pray, forgive, release, and set free our enemies. Amen. You know, if you continue to be a light to people, you'll have a voice in their life because they'll see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. You know, sometimes we get on the job and we like to gripe and complain. We think we can. Well, we're not a church. What does that have to do with it? Why did your attitude suddenly change? Hallelujah. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Doug. It really is. Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen. That was good. Good place to say it because sometimes we think, well, you know, we can complain or we can do a half job, but my Bible reads that when we work unto the Lord. And sometimes we forget that. See, we're still working for the dollar or we're working for something else. If you're working unto the Lord, then it doesn't bother you to bless your coworker. You know, I know one particular guy, he'd do it all the time. He rode with a guy in an ice truck and it was the driver's job to get the paperwork done. Then the driver's supposed to go clean out the truck. Not the rider, the driver. So he's doing all this paperwork. While he's doing that paperwork, the rider, it wasn't his responsibility, but he would go every day and sweep out this guy's truck. It wasn't his job, but he did it anyway. Why? He said, because I'm not working to him. I'm working to the Lord. My job is to be a testimony for Jesus. And he did it every single time he ever rode with this guy. This guy would hate him, didn't want to talk to him, give him the silent treatment, tell him he's crazy, you're weird, there's something wrong with you. But you know, when his last day came, when he gave his 2 weeks, he said, I want that person to ride with me today. Can you work that out? That's what he told the boss. Hadn't talked to him for a year and a half. He said, I've tried to rattle you. I've tried to change you. I can't. I need your Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You're the real deal. See, God wants you to be a testimony, yes, with our words, but also in our actions. What we do, our attitude. Well, that's not something, I don't like to do that. Well, you're all we got. I need you to go do this job. Oh man, I hate this part. We allow our attitude to affect our testimony. Instead of saying, well, I know I could do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I don't like every single thing I have to do. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm going to be doggone determined as best that I know how and bite the bullet and do it unto the Lord. Say, Father, I'm going to bring glory to you in this situation. I'm going to do it unto the Lord. And sometimes it just takes a decision that we're going to make regardless of how we feel. Push some of those ugly feelings behind us. Say, no, I'm doing it. Lord, I'm doing it unto you. Help me. Help me, Lord. I give you praise. Thank you for the job that I have. Thank you, boss, for letting me do that. It's good for my character. Hallelujah. It's good for my character. You don't have to tell your boss that, but they'll know it. If you got the right, anything else you need me to do? What else you need me to do today? Hallelujah. Well, we're here with the Word of God and it was good. And we're going to remember, Father, to pray for our enemies. Amen. And we'll talk about some other things maybe next time. So, I hope somebody got something tonight. Amen. I know I was challenged. I challenged my own self. Praise God. Amen. How many know the Word of God will speak to us? It will challenge us. Amen. We need to be challenged. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for His Word tonight. Father, we thank you for your Word, the truth of it, Father, that we'll be those that forgive, that don't cause offense, that you will help us, Lord, to refrain, Lord, from saying things, from doing certain things, that we will do the things that we should, like bless our enemies, pray for them, Father, do good to them. And Father, help us, Lord, to be those that are forgivers, Lord, and not those that hold grudges, Lord. We don't render evil for evil. Oh, Lord, you said in Romans 12 that it's yours, Father, that you will repay. When we do what is right, Father, you will take care of it, Lord. You will be our avenger. So, Father, we want to worship you and thank you for that tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.